He is out of his mind. That's what it says. The gospel drops that one on us, and then it just ends there, leaves us without any more. Very short gospel reading, and it ends with, he's out of his mind. No, it's not such an unusual thing to say. People are accusing other people of being out of their minds all the time, especially nowadays. But this is said about Jesus, and it's said about him by his relatives. So we have to think about this, and because it's such a short gospel, doesn't give us any more details, what we think about it is a lot of, well, it's pondering. We can use our imagination, we can use our thoughts, we can reflect on what this possibly means about Jesus and what message there is for us here. Well, the idea of someone being out of his mind can mean a lot of things. And even in the ancient world, they were not stupid. They knew that some people's minds fail, especially when people get old, that what the condition we call dementia now, that was well known in the ancient world, senility. The mind doesn't always work properly. Or they also knew that young children, their minds are not yet formed. They're not, no insult intended to the little child here. But I mean, children don't think properly yet because they haven't developed their minds. And then they also knew that people could go mad. What was the expression then was madman, a madman. In other words, his mind doesn't function normally. And in the ancient world, especially among the Jews, they had also experience of people being possessed by evil spirits. And sometimes they would attribute what we would consider psychological disturbances to evil spirits. Okay, now in our times we have many more categories of what could be described as being out of your mind. Yes, there's insanity, where a person really has no control over his thoughts or his perception of reality is completely distorted. That's insanity. But then there's a whole range of psychological and mental illnesses, you know, psychoses and neuroses and schizophrenia and paranoia and lots of different things and varying degrees. In fact, you could say that all of us are a little bit out of our minds whenever we sin, because sin is always a stupid thing to do. And we know that it's not right, but we do it anyway. So all of us are a little bit off balance. And then we also know that there is such a thing as demonic possession or demonic influence. It does happen that sometimes people's behavior is influenced by another mind, meaning the mind of an evil spirit. Now, the relatives of Jesus probably are thinking, they're not thinking that he's insane, and they're not thinking he's possessed. He was accused of being possessed. In fact, the very next verse of the gospel, which we didn't read, is the scribes coming along and saying he's possessed. He's under the dominion of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. So that was an accusation, but that's not what his relatives say. They probably are saying to themselves, he's lost, you know, he's out of control. He can't handle the situation. Crowd is too big. He's not eating normally. Let's go in and help him out. It's probably not a very severe judgment. It's just a mild judgment, like, oh, our relative here, he's out of his mind. Now, as I said at the beginning, this sort of expression is very common. I notice it all the time in the fractious political discourse of our day. It happens now that if someone supports one candidate, it seems that gives him the justification for accusing anyone who supports any other candidate of being out of his mind. And this is the way, if there's two candidates, the parties consider their opponents out of their mind. How could anybody support him or her? That's how they talk. So it's a breakdown of of rational discourse about the pros and cons of different positions. It's just, I'm right, my position's right, my candidate is the right one, and anyone who thinks differently is out of his mind. I can't even talk to him. Who could ever possibly think of such a thing? And this is in the news all the time now. In fact, well, it depends on who you follow, because the way these things are being categorized in social media, if you follow one source, that source is entirely in favor of this position or this candidate or this party, and anyone else is out of their mind. And if you go to another source, it's exactly the opposite. Now, there's a bit of humor implied here, if you think about this, because the one who is being accused of being out of his mind is Jesus, who is the only one who is in his right mind. In fact, he has a perfect mind. In fact, he is the mind of God. It's not just that he's in his right mind. He is the mind of God. He is the Logos of the Father. He's the Word of the Father. He's the perfect expression of truth and of love. So to accuse him of being out of his mind is really an insane thing to say. That's, whoever says this about Jesus is out of his mind. And you could almost literally say that's so, because if, as soon as you say that the perfect mind, the divine mind, the right mind, the true mind, the mind of love, is somehow out of order, well then you yourself are out of order. So that alludes to what I said before about sin. Whenever we step out of the will of God, or we disagree with the mind of God, something wrong with us. It's, sin is a kind of insanity. Not psychological insanity, but moral insanity, a moral craziness. Sin, first of all, if we don't know it's a sin, well then that's not a sin. If we don't know that we're doing something wrong, if we're ignorant, that's not a moral disorder. It's just a mistake. But a sin is a decision that we know is not the right thing, and we do it anyway. That's a sin. And when we do that, well, we're out of our mind. Now, but as we reflect on this, what comes up is, what is the standard we use to determine what's a right mind? What's normal? What are our criteria? Because here, the relatives of Jesus are using a standard they have in their minds, and they think that whatever Jesus is doing or not doing is not according to their standard, therefore he's the one out of his mind. Now, that means their standard is flawed. Doesn't mean they're bad people, doesn't mean they're stupid, but there's something wrong with their thinking. Well, this is everywhere. This is epidemic. Wrong standards, wrong thinking, wrong foundation. In fact, in modern times, because there's a general idea that there is no such thing as a standard and every person can make up for himself his version of reality or truth, according to that way of thinking, I'm right, and no one has any say in the matter. So if I have a position, you can't say I'm wrong, because there's no such thing as right and wrong. We each decide for ourselves. Now, if I come up to you and say I'm Napoleon, well, you would say, well, something wrong with you. And yet, if I say I'm a woman, you say, well, you have a right to say that. See how imbalanced our culture is. That whole transgender mentality is a kind of insanity. I know you're not allowed to say that nowadays. And it's not right to say that to a person who's struggling with a gender dysphoria or a gender disorder. But if you step back from it and be objective about it, it's a kind of insanity. It's a rejection of objective reality. But this is what we're dealing with. Now, when it comes to living by faith, the whole process of conversion, of taking as our standard the will of God, we will automatically be considered out of our minds by anybody who follows a different standard, whether it's the world or our own relatives, friends, neighbors, because that's how we determine what's normal and what's not normal. So when a person acting in faith says, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to do this because I believe it's the will of God, the person who doesn't think that the will of God is a real thing or doesn't think it's a real standard will say, you're out of your mind. You're not going to take this opportunity. You're not going to do this thing that's obviously good. No. Well, then you're out of your mind. Today, Saint Sebastian was highly educated, came from a good family. He lived in the 3rd century, which is when there was some periods of very severe persecution of Christians. When he became Christian, he was living in an area where the persecution wasn't very severe. It's in Milan. He went to Rome because in Rome the persecution was more severe. Now, most people would probably say, he's out of his mind. He's walking into the fire. What is he, stupid or just crazy? And in fact, by using those standards, anyone who's a martyr is out of his mind. Anyone who sacrifices his life is out of his mind. Because if you use as a standard that preservation of your own life is the most important thing, then to risk your life is a kind of insanity. All the martyrs could have saved themselves if they denied their faith, and they didn't. So they're, by that standard, out of their minds. Anyway, Saint Sebastian goes to Rome in part because he wants to minister to the Christians who are being persecuted, and in part because he himself wants to lay down his life. He has an attraction to this sacrifice. Well, he is arrested, and he's executed with the means was, that of course, they didn't have firing squads, but they used arrows, tied him up and shot him with arrows and left him for dead. You might have seen some famous artworks of Saint Sebastian pierced with arrows, and I've seen some statues. In fact, I recently blessed a statue, a little statue of Saint Sebastian with arrows stuck in him. You've seen those. He didn't die. He recovered from the arrows. What does he do? Run back to Milan, get into safety. Does he do what any normal person would do? No. He remains in Rome, and he continues to proclaim the gospel. In fact, he tries to proclaim the gospel to the emperor. And the result is he's martyred. Now, we honor him as a holy witness, as an example of great Christian faith and love. But if you use the standards of the world, you'd have to say Sebastian is out of his mind. Now, the reason I'm dwelling on this is because we have to get used to this accusation of being out of our minds. We have to get used to it. There's always going to be people who think that of us. And if, in fact, if no one thinks you're out of your mind, it probably means you're not living your faith. It probably means you're not violating worldly standards. You're just conforming, and that's not good. Our founder, Father Francis, had very good insight into this. Well, into lots of the things in the spiritual life. Now, he wasn't a professional psychologist or a philosopher, a scholar, but he had his own experience of conversion as a young man, and he had his own experience of a nervous breakdown as a young man. So he knew what it meant to go through the process of conversion, meaning shifting this standard of a principle on which I base my life. And he also had this experience of psychological weakness. And he had to distinguish between the two, and it took him a little effort, and he had to rely on good spiritual directors. But anyone who's and that's why Father Francis was very good at understanding conversion, which is submission to God at work. And sometimes you can feel crazy when you're going through early stages of conversion. Am I losing my mind? All these things I thought were absurd before, and now they make sense to me? What's happening? That's conversion sometimes. But then with mental illness, or in his case, he had a nervous breakdown, his mental functioning broke down, and he couldn't function. He was kind of reliant on people to help him for a while. And he had, and so he understood the difference between natural human weakness and abandoning oneself to God, which looks crazy to some. And Father Francis's relatives, some of them thought he was crazy. In fact, even after his conversion, even after his ordination as a priest, some of his friends accused him of having monomania, because he was always talking about Our Lady of the liturgical life. He was always talking about living the liturgy. He was always talking about pondering in the heart like Mary. And that was all he would focus on. And says, look, don't you think about anything else? Don't you do anything else? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And he would say, well, yeah, I guess so. Because that's, he understood, and well, Father Francis, he understood that what guaranteed his sanity, what gave him a secure basis for acting, was what God had said. And that's actually the most sane thing a person can do. That's what leads to great holiness. That absolute trust in God. That making the one criterion of our life and thinking and behavior the will of God. That's absolute sanity. That's absolute security. And that's what Father Francis did. So he's a great example of this. It doesn't mean he had a great mind. And he said he was an average student. It doesn't mean that he had a powerful psyche. He said he had that weakness and he had to recover from it, and it kind of narrowed his psychological function. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because he was standing on something solid, the will of God. Okay, well, maybe that's enough for now. I mean, Sebastian is a great example. David in the first reading is a good example. He's mourning for Saul, who was his enemy. What is he, out of his mind? No, he's submitting himself to God's way of seeing, and this is what we're invited to do by these readings. So if someone accuses you of being out of your mind, no, maybe they're right, but maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're out of their minds because they don't understand the will of God.